This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Let me add my welcome to Trisha's. It's good to be with you on this Easter day. I'm a little nervous because Trish declared us professionals, and not so sure about that, but... You know, every time I read this story in Luke, I'm struck by the angel's opening words. Why do you look for the living among the dead? It's really a surprising and searching question, and it gets to the heart of what the resurrection of Jesus is all about. Why do you seek for life in this place? You know, why are you carrying spices for burial? Don't you understand? Death is no longer final. And indeed, this announcement from the angels tells us that something significant, something new has happened. Death has actually been defeated. The tombstone was rolled away. And the claim is not that Jesus was resuscitated in a sense and brought back to life, but rather a totally new form of bodily life emerged from the tomb. C.S. Lewis said, it's the strangest story of all. Something genuinely novel, history's greatest miracle took place. And so obviously today we're going to talk about the resurrection, what it means for our world, what it means for our lives. And to help us think about the significance of this day, to help us think about the significance of Jesus' resurrection, I want us to just ask the simple question, well, what if he didn't? What if he wasn't raised from the dead? What if the tomb had not been empty? What if the women had found the dead among the dead? What would our world look like? What would be lost in our personal lives? You know, to be honest, it's very, very difficult to even imagine what the world would look like if Jesus' grave had not been empty. It's really almost impossible for us to imagine. Because as the story unfolded, Jesus' resurrection really validated and vindicated his actions and teachings. And so when he was raised from the dead, it inspired his followers to create this new community called the church, where they really sought to imitate Jesus' life and to put his instruction into practice. And to be sure, Jesus' followers were and still are far from perfect. But because of the things that Jesus did, because they were so profound, Jesus' movement literally changed the world. If we were to try to remove all of the influence of Jesus and his resurrection from the world would be unrecognizable to us. I can promise you this, something much different and much worse would have emerged. Jesus' actions reverberate across the centuries, and his resurrection has had unparalleled impact in history. But you know, if you follow Jesus, it's probably not just simply because of the good that he has done abstractly. It's probably because of the particular difference that he's made in your life. The way he showed you mercy, the way he gave you hope. But what if he hadn't? What if he hadn't? What if he didn't rise from the dead And the promise of the gospel simply died with him. What would our lives look like? Now, the Apostle Paul asked this very question in 1 Corinthians. He said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. So if Christ has not been raised, Paul says, look, no resurrection, no gospel. There's no good news. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is futile. It's ineffective. It's unable to deliver good results, which means we are still in our sins. They are not forgiven. And so I want to just spend a little bit of time this morning thinking about two simple ways that our Christian faith would be rendered ineffective or futile if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. And first, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, we'd be chained to our past. We'd be chained to our past. Do you ever feel defined by mistakes that you've made in your past? You know, the story, The Scarlet Letter, it's a famous story about Hester Prynne, a woman living in 17th century Boston. And this story always reminds me of one of my crowning achievements of high school as a junior at Blue Valley. And I just admit, I did not like to read. And I especially didn't like to read stories about some lady with an A on her dress, you know. I just thought, well, hey, it's a scarlet A. Just tell people it's Alabama. Roll Tide. I mean, who cares? So I was lamenting in class one day about having to read this story that was of no interest to me because it wasn't about fishing or football. And so I declared, I was telling my friend, I said, look, I'm not reading this. I'm just going to get the Cliff's Notes, and we're going to go from there. And another friend of mine, she says, you're going to get in trouble. Mrs. Wimmer, if she finds out, blah, 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 blah. And I said, all right, bet's on. I better. And I'm not going to tell you her name because some of you probably know her. I bet her $20 that I was going to do better on the test than she would, even though I wasn't going to read the story. And I won. I won $20. So I was very, very proud. I have since gone back and read it. Not a chance. No way. I haven't done it. I'm never going to read the story. But I do know the point. I do know the point. After giving birth to an illegitimate child, she's forced to wear this scarlet colored A on her garments to remind her and everyone else that she was an adulteress. And so she lives every day under this cloud of disgrace, a cloud of shame. And at one point, her daughter says to her, Mother, the sunshine does not love you. It runs away and hides itself because of something on your bosom. I mean, that's a dramatic statement. But we've all experienced, I think, to one degree or another, the pain of being identified by the things that we wish we had not done. And without the resurrection, those mistakes have the power to rename us. And we have no authority to resist their classification of us. We're chained to that past. But in his crucifixion and resurrection from the dead, Jesus has promised and given us a new identity. You know, in Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus shed blood essentially to wash away our scarlet letters, to wash away our sins. And the resurrection proved that Jesus is offering the offering of himself for the sins of the world. The resurrection proves that God the Father was pleased with his offering. And so sin has been defeated. And through faith in Christ, his spotless, his blameless past is given to us. It's like we're given a new identity. And between our past and the present is a wooden cross that forever separates who we were with who God now says we are. We were chained. But now we can look at what bound us and say, Jesus is risen. And that means a new day has dawned and the old is gone. So if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we'd not only be chained to the past, but we'd also be anxious about the future. You know, the Apostle Peter said that Jesus, because Jesus has been raised, we've been born again to a living hope. A living hope. The resurrection is our reason for hope. It's the most powerful sign of God's faithfulness that we could ever imagine. You know, the cross, and interestingly, so this is probably not how you want to prepare for Easter morning, but my girls had never seen The Passion. And we watched it last night. It just so vividly reveals not only the physical suffering of Jesus, but the darkness of the human heart. But in Jesus, God appeared in our midst, but we did not receive him. Instead, we hung him on a cross. And how did God respond? Did he turn away from us? Did he begin his plans of how he was going to exact revenge? No. God's response was resurrection, to initiate our healing and reconciliation. And so this gives us hope. If God can redeem something so awful as the cross, then what can't he do? He can do anything. The resurrection says, look at what God turned around. He can redeem any situation in your life and mine. We have a living hope because the same God who raised Jesus from the dead now gives life to our mortal bodies through his indwelling spirit. And so as we look out to the future, there is a lot of uncertainty in the day-to-day. But even so, we're strengthened by the resurrection. We're strengthened by that sign of inevitable joy that awaits us. You know, the truth is, there is a lot against us. There is a lot to keep us up at night. Financial insecurity, broken relationships, the well-being of our children, our physical health. And the resurrection is by no means a magic pill for anxiety. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would have no way to confront those fears and to empty them of their power. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, then even the crucifixion has been turned into something good. That's why we call it Good Friday. If Jesus rose from the dead, then that means God is victorious over all. C.S. Lewis said it like this: some people say of temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. In J.R.R. Tolkien's Return of the King, Sam Ganji wakes up thinking that everything is lost, and upon discovering that all his friends were around him, he cries out, "Gandalf, I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead. Is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue? Well, if Jesus rose from the dead, then the answer is yes. Everything sad is going to come untrue. If Christ rose from the dead, all the sad things will come untrue, which means that you and I do not have to be anxious about our future. You know, as I was thinking about this morning, and I was trying to imagine where you are in your relationship to Jesus. And this is obviously a broad generalization, but I think essentially there's three groups of people among us this morning. Some of you, no doubt, like, you're on board. you're 100% in. And of course, no one's perfect. There's always room for improvement, if you will, but you know the risen Lord, and I just encourage you, keep it up. Keep growing in your relationship with Jesus. I think, though, there's probably another group of you saying this: you know, I wish I could believe all that about Jesus, but I just can't. It just seems too far-fetched for me. And then I think a final group, I might describe you this way: you're committed to your faith. Maybe you have been for a long, long time. You know the right answers. You're in church. But if you're honest, your relationship to Jesus looks like people visiting a graveyard. Jesus is essentially dead to you. You know a lot about Jesus, but you don't really experience him in your everyday life. And so to the latter two groups, my question is this: would you like it to be different next Easter? Would you like it to be different in your life next Easter? You know, if Jesus is indeed risen, would you like to meet him? Would you like to experience him in your everyday life? And if so, let's go back to the angel's question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, implied in that question is a directive. And the directive is this: go look for him, but somewhere else. You're in the wrong place. And so what I would say to you is, if you want to meet the risen Lord, you have to look for him. Jesus tells us to ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. You have to look for Jesus, and look for him in the right places. You know, I can think of all kinds of right places just simply based upon, this is where I know other people have met the risen Jesus. Things like Alpha or life groups or practicing a devotional life or going on a mission trip, putting yourself in places where you can actually meet the risen Jesus. Because Jesus isn't going to be found looking back into the tombs of history. He's not going to be found looking back into the tombs of, you know, like a great religious teacher, Socrates or Plato or Confucius, all great people. But a Jesus who's nothing more than just a religious ideal is not going to change your life. But if you want to find the risen Jesus, you need to look for him among the living. You need to look for him today. If you look for Jesus, the risen Lord, who wants to be involved in your life today, if you look for that Jesus, the living Jesus, then the promise of the Bible is that you'll find him. You'll find him. And so build your life around that Jesus, the living and risen Lord, and he will give you a new identity and a new hope. He will give you the fullness of life. That is the Jesus that I have come to know and commend to you. Will you please stand?